My dearly beloved in Christ, I'd like to speak about the Epiphany. On Monday, we celebrated the Feast of the Three Kings coming to visit the Christ child. And the Epiphany means manifestation. And the church celebrated really three manifestations. First, the coming of the three kings who are Gentiles, who recognize Christ as the Redeemer of the world. And then the second manifestation was at the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Ghost appeared above Christ and God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the third manifestation was Christ's first miracle at Cana, where at the request of Our Lady changed water into wine. But the word epiphany, even though it's a Greek word, probably not familiar with it, it's really similar to the English word cellophane. And what do we mean by cellophane? Sometimes you get bills, and then they've got this little plastic window, and it's got your address and name on it. And then, or you can send it back to, you've got a bill, and you can send it back with the little cellophane window. So it manifests the divinity of Christ. And when the shepherds went to see the Christ child, that was the Jewish people, the first Jewish people to recognize Christ as a Redeemer. At the coming of the three kings, it was the whole Gentile world, the non-Jewish world. Profane history informs us that at that particular time of history, when the Messiah was to be born, there prevailed throughout the entire East a conviction, which was the outcome of prophecies, that in a not-too-distant date, a powerful monarch would appear in Judea, that's where Jerusalem and Bethlehem are, and eventually gain dominion over the then-known world. A pagan prophet named Balaam said that a star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring up from Israel. Now, the three kings were astronomers, and they attentively searched the starry skies for the appearance of a heavenly body that would indicate the arrival of the great king. And that's how God directed them. A strange, brilliant phenomenon among the stars was a signal that the birth of the Savior had taken place or would take place soon. But that was in accord with the tradition and belief of the people at the time. When the Magi saw the heavenly message from God's sign, the miraculous star, they prepared for a long journey to adore the newborn Redeemer. St. John Chrysostom said that it was actually an angel who assumed the appearance of a star that led the kings to Bethlehem. The miraculous shining prodigy led the Magi to the Christ child as a pillar of fire led the chosen people to the promised land. The journey of the three kings was very long and difficult, likely lasting several months or even years and covering up to 700 miles. Since they were going to visit a king, the trip required much preparation. And of course, in addition to the long journey, traveling by camel was not very comfortable. The regal appearance of the three wise men with their long caravan of heavily laden camels created quite a sensation among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They were shocked when the kings asked, "Where is he that is to be born king of the Jews?" Although Herod had reigned for 36 years, he had no intention of resigning. When Herod learned of the arrival of the Magi, he was troubled and questioned the chief priests and scribes regarding the birthplace of the Messiah. And they looked in Scripture, and there in chapter 5, the prophet Micah, we read, "And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth the captain that shall rule my people Israel." So, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, the star disappeared over Jerusalem, Bethlehem's about 5 miles away. But the Jews who knew about the coming of the wise men, they didn't travel to Bethlehem. Herod didn't go to Bethlehem, but the three kings did. Upon their arrival, they adored the infant Jesus and offered him royal gifts. Melchior's gift was gold, Gaspar's was myrrh, and Balthazar's frankincense. Now, during the time of Christ, the value of gold was $600 a pound. The value of frankincense was just slightly less, but myrrh was worth $4,000 a pound. And each of the gifts had a mystical significance. Gold symbolized that Christ is the king. Frankincense, that he's divine, because you use incense for divine worship. And then myrrh symbolized his burial. When the infant Jesus was presented in the temple 40 days after his birth, Our Lady gave the offering of the poor, because she had not yet been visited by the three kings, nor had received their valuable gifts. But those gifts were very helpful, because when they had to flee into Egypt, they had some way to pay for their expenses and to get settled in a foreign country. There's an interesting story regarding the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. It was erected by St. Helena in 329 over the very birthplace of Christ. And then later in the Persians came and destroyed many of the churches in the Holy Land in 614. But this building was spared. When the Persians entered it for its destruction, they saw mosaics of three kings dressed in Persian garb on the floor of this church and left it unharmed out of respect for their ancestors who adored the Christ child. It's believed that all three wise men in time were martyred. St. Helena, mother of the Emperor Constantine, brought their relics to Constantinople in the 4th century. They were later moved to Milan. In the 12th century, the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick Barbarossa gave them to the Archbishop of Cologne in Germany. A beautiful cathedral was built, and inside are the relics of the three kings. Herod summoned the Magi secretly and carefully ascertained from them the time when the star appeared to them. But Herod was a very evil man. He was given the job of military prefect of Galilee and then eventually moved his way up in the ranks. He went to Rome and persuaded the Roman Senate to give him the title King of the Jews. And then he went back to Judea under Roman allegiance, brought it to Roman allegiance. That fulfilled the prophecy that the Messiah was coming. But he murdered his brother-in-law, who was a high priest, and then later his uncle, his wife, his children, three of his children. And eventually Augustus Caesar said that he would rather be Herod's pig than Herod's son. Just one last thing. Just before his death, though, remember Herod was the one who killed the holy innocents. Realizing that he would be dying very soon, he sent letters to the principal heads of every family in Judaism demanding their presence on pain of death. So all these men came to Jerusalem. Once they came to Jerusalem, he ordered them to be locked up in the horse racing ground. He then gave orders to his sister that after his death, they were all to be executed, thus making sure that the whole nation would mourn when he died, but not for him. Fortunately, when Herod died, his sister released the imprisoned Jews and allowed them to return home. Herod died 37 years after being declared king of the Jews, leaving 4 sons to whom was given a quarter of each of his kingdom. But just in closing, my dearly beloved Christ, very soon the Christmas decorations will be coming down, or they may have already come down from your home, and they'll come down in the church, and things will be put into boxes and stored away. But the lesson that Christ is the light of the world should be with us the whole year and lead us to a better life, a holier life, as we begin a new year. And in the past, we've offended God, we've disappointed him. This new year deserves a new road, and wise men take it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.